In light of VBS this week and staying with the theme of VBS, I have entitled my sermon, Rescued by Jesus. And turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, and I'll be reading Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. I love this. I love the things that are happening in the church. The back of the stage looks so bright and so inviting, and I love being in palm trees. I don't even have to go to Arizona, and this is perfect. The church looks amazing, so thank you for all those that have volunteered and put in a lot of time and effort getting ready for VBS, and those that will be teaching and helping out. So we trust that God will be honored and glorified throughout the week. Let's read Luke chapter 17, starting at verse 11 and through to verse 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood off at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to praise God except for this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Let's just bow for a word of prayer before we dig into the Word of God this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for the truths that it teaches us. We thank you that it reveals you, the rescuer, to us. And so, God, we thank you for that. And this morning, Lord, will you speak to our hearts, and may we hear from you this morning through your Holy Spirit, and may it change our lives from here on. Father, we thank you again, and we pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. CTV News headline reads, "Everyone is safe. Daring rescue of Thai soccer team ends 18-day ordeal." On June 23rd, 12 boys and their coach walked into a cave after their soccer practice in Thailand. And they had only intended to stay for 1 hour just to check it out after their soccer practice. The Wild Boars soccer team became trapped when heavy rains flooded the cave and cutting off their exit, forcing them further into the cave to find higher ground. And it was a heroic rescue that brought all the boys and the coach to safety. One of the rescuers, of course, did lose his life in this rescue attempt. I don't know how long it took to these boys and their coach to realize and recognize the fact that they were in big trouble, that they were in incredible need. I don't know how long it took for all of these things to transpire, but I can only imagine the sinking feeling when the realization starts to sink in that we're being trapped. There's no way out. How do we get to safety from here? What's going to happen? They wound up 1 kilometer into the cave. Nobody would hear their cries for help inside that cave. But whether you could hear them or not, had I been in that cave, whether you could hear me or not, I would have been yelling, "Help! Someone help me! We're in trouble! Can anybody hear me?" They would have been yelling at the top of their lungs. The one thing that these boys and their coach came to realize very quickly, I'm sure, was that they were in desperate need of rescue. They were in a very bad situation, and they were in need of rescue. And it was an absolutely heroic rescue that cost a life. In our text today, we find 10 lepers desperately in need of rescue from this horrific disease of leprosy. And so this morning, let's look at the 10 lepers' cry for help. In verse 11, Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem. He is now in the last few months before he enters Jerusalem for the Passover, as the true Passover lamb to be sacrificed once and for all. And so he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And verse 12 says that as he entered a village, it doesn't say the name of the village, but as he enters a village, 10 leprous men stood off at a distance, but they met with him. The phrase stood at a distance indicates that these lepers had the more severe form of leprosy, and it wasn't that it was just a skin rash, but in fact it was the full-blown disease of leprosy. And so they kept a distance from people. This was something that was specified in the law of Moses, that somebody with a full-blown leprosy had to stay away, had to stay a certain distance from everybody. They may have been crying out, unclean, unclean. In fact, they were supposed to cover their face. They were supposed to cover their mouth. And I'm not sure if that was just in case they spit when they talked. I don't know. But to cover their mouth so that germs couldn't be transmitted. And they were supposed to stand and yell, unclean, unclean. Leviticus 13:45 says, anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, unclean, unclean. So a person, apart from the telltale infectious signs of their raw flesh, of possibly their limbs falling off from this disease and their white hair, apart from all those signs of visible signs of seeing, they also had to yell, unclean, unclean. What a sad thing, what a sad place for these people to have to be. Not only is it visible, but you have to call out that I'm unclean. What a shaming way these people had to live. He had to be identified by torn clothes, unclean, unkept hair. When they were in the streets, they had to be isolated from people, isolated from everybody in the community. And it's interesting, this leprosy is still around today. It's better known nowadays. I think they refer to it as Hansen's disease. And finally, it took up until 1982, this is just a side note just for your benefit, it took up until 1982 for them to finally find a cure for leprosy or Hansen's disease. Leprosy is an ancient disease, having been found even in the Egyptian mummies, in the tombs when they unearthed some of the mummies. In fact, many people consider that Egypt was the origin of leprosy, of this horrible disease. So, of course, any Israelite with a skin disease would go to the priest for a diagnosis. They had to go to get it checked from a priest. And if he determined that it was contagious, if it was beyond more than just a rash, the infected person would be excluded from social contact, which was then restricted. And so from everybody else. So the only contact that you would have is if there was other lepers, you would have contact with those people. Those are the only other people that you could come in contact with. Even the family who loved you and who you loved had to stay away from you. You wouldn't be able to, the people that would be lovingly be able to care for you and take care of you, you had no contact with. They would live like aliens with this miserable disease. One of the most horrible aspects of leprosy is the destruction of the peripheral nerves, and this neuropathy results in none of your limbs being able to feel any pain. And so if you touched a hot stove, if you touched a fire, you wouldn't feel it. And so many of these people, as they walked through life, they would touch things and they would burn themselves. Or if they were walking and they tripped over something and they hurt themselves, they would never realize it. They would just adjust their walk or whatever it was. And because of the fact that they felt no pain and continuously hurting themselves over and over again, their limbs would fall off. There was disgusting sores, and they would begin to smell. And this is the condition of these 10 men affected with the most severe case of leprosy. Luke 17:13 says that they called out in a loud voice. Can you imagine? This is the condition that you are in. It's horrific. It's absolutely horrific. You're alone. Your outlook on life is pretty bleak. You would feel very much ashamed. And so they called out. And they would have called out and put their hand over their mouth. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Have mercy on us. This is the equivalent to them yelling at the top of their lungs. And of course, this disease also affects their voice. It also affects how they talk. And so they would have been talking possibly very raspy, very deep, and maybe almost to the point of not being able to hear, but or understand, but in their condition, they were yelling at the top of their lungs. And they called out, "Jesus, Master." And in addressing Jesus as Master in this way, it leaves us to conclude that the lepers knew Jesus by his reputation. They knew of his power over sickness, over illness, and his ability to heal. Master, have pity on us. Have mercy on us. And of course, this means to feel sympathy. The original meaning means to feel sympathy with the misery and pain of others, to have compassion on them. Specifically, sympathy that leads to action, to a response. Not only do we have sympathy or we feel compassion for them, but it goes one step further. We just don't, oh my goodness, that's horrible, and move on because we don't. No, it leads to an action. It leads to something happening, something being done. The Greek word used for pity and mercy is indicative of being moved to pity and compassion by tragic circumstance. And of course, in the case of the 10 lepers, whose fate in life was otherwise sealed as untouchable, as outcasts, they were definitely in need. And so we understand their dire need and the reason that they cry out for help. They recognize their great need, the greatness of the need, and their inability to do anything about the situation that they are in, inability to do anything about the disease that they have. And they cry out for help. Let's just read on a little bit further and see, as we see Jesus' response. And Jesus responds very compassionately. Luke 17, verse 14, When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests and say," and as they went, they were cleansed. When he saw them, it's an interesting phrase because just before that, we see that they were calling out. But it doesn't say that when he heard them. And Jesus would have obviously heard their desperate cry for their desperate plea for mercy and for help. But because to the eyes of most people, what they saw was they saw were 10 outcasts, 10 unclean people, 10 disgusting people, repulsive, absolutely repulsive in their appearance. That's what we would have seen. But Jesus sees beyond that. They were objects of his love. He sees them as objects of love and compassion. And of course, this is still who Jesus is today. He still sees people as objects of his love and his compassion. And he sees our need. He is the same yesterday and today and forever, Hebrews 13, verse 8. But not only did Jesus see the lepers, but he heard their pleas and their cries for help as well. And Jesus, of course, he responds to their cries for help and rescues the 10 men from this incredible disease. These men were in desperate need of rescue. And his compassion moves him to action. And Jesus rescues these 10 lepers. Merriam-Webster defines rescue this way: to set free as from confinement or risk, like in the rescuing of a child. Rescue implies that one has a need to be rescued, that they are at risk, that they are in need or in danger, and they are in need of rescue, and it also implies that there is a rescuer. Undoubtedly, these 10 lepers recognized their need. They recognized their inability to do anything about their condition, their inability to heal themselves, because I'm pretty sure that being in the condition they are in, they would have tried anything that they could possibly get their hands on for a cure. They would have tried any remedy that was possibly available for this cure. But they realized and recognized that there was absolutely nothing that would heal them. If ever there was someone in need of rescue, it was these 10 lepers. And sometimes it's interesting because Jesus wasn't repulsed by their outer look, their disease that they have. He wasn't repulsed by that. He wasn't taken aback by that. He didn't walk on the other side of the road, far away from them. What did he do? He takes time for them. He doesn't remove himself from these 10 people. Sometimes I think it's interesting because in my own life, sometimes when I look at the situation, when it's a hard situation, sometimes it's almost easier just to ignore it and walk on the other side, pretend you didn't hear them, and just keep walking. Well, that's not who Jesus is at all. Because he is compassionate. He is a loving God. He is a caring God. And he has compassion on people. And Jesus hears their cry for help, and he responds. Jesus has compassion on them and their condition, and he heals them of their physical condition. Jesus tells them to go to the priests and have them inspect their condition. This was one of the roles of the priest. The priest acted as a health inspector, and so whoever is cured of leprosy or has leprosy, you have to go and see, first of all, if it's the contagious version, and if you need to be quarantined, and then also if it clears up, you also have to go to the priest and have him inspect you. And you can find that all those details in Leviticus 14, and it gives you a very detailed description of what is required in order to declare someone clean or healed or cured from this. No man could pronounce you clean, even if he were healed. Even if I was healed, the only way to be declared healed was to be able to go to the priest. He was the only one that would be able to do it. And of course, this was, back in Leviticus, this was the ceremony prescribed in the law of Moses. And so that's why Jesus sends the lepers to the priests just as they were going. Now, notice this. When does it say that they were healed? There was an act of faith that was involved in here. He said, go to the priest. And so as they turned, as they went to go to the priest, they were healed. So there's an act of faith that is involved in here. And as they went, because as they went, they were cleansed. So this suggests that there was some aspect of, or some degree of faith or belief in Jesus, or at least they had faith that he had the ability to help them. And they were cleansed, meaning they were made pure, that they were made clean, without stain or without spot. Quite a change, quite a drastic change from what they were. Cleansed is of course, cleansed is an aorist tense signifying that this occurred at a point in time instantaneously. Now, as they turned, they're people, disgusting people, filled with disease, and as they turned and walked away, instantly they were cleansed, instantly they were healed. Isn't that amazing? This is their rescuer. He is rescuing them so completely. And I don't believe for a minute, because I know who Jesus is and I know who God is, and he is the creator of all things. And if they had any limbs that were missing, any fingers or toes or legs that were missing, I know for a fact that as they turned and walked away, it says they walked away. So obviously their limbs were intact, because that's the only way God does things. Because he is an amazing God and he has the power to do it. And that Jesus, and of course, he also has the power to cleanse. And this power came from God. Jesus is God, of course. Now, the priests would have been extremely privileged because these guys were sent to the priest. So the priest would have been incredibly privileged to have these 10 guys coming to them as eyewitnesses of an incredible miracle. This is an amazing miracle. There's not just one person that was healed. There's 10. And they saw this, they would have seen this for 7 days. And the law talks about this whole ceremony, this whole process takes 7 days to complete. They would have had to carry out these regulations for 10 days. These men with clear complexions, with smooth skin, no smelly sores on them, stood in front of the priests. What a dramatic testimony to the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. But you know what's interesting? Seeing this, seeing these 10 men healed, you would think that they would all believe, but not all of them did believe. Not all of the priests did believe. Some did, but not all of them, according to Acts 6 verse 7. Many other priests rejected Jesus' claim as the long expected Messiah, the long expected rescuer that they were waiting for. And again, we see in this passage that miracles, even the most amazing miracles of healing 10 people from this decrepit disease, instantly being cleansed, does not necessarily cause unbelieving people to believe. I often thought to myself as I was growing up, if only I had been there. Can you imagine what my faith would be like when you see Jesus performing these amazing miracles, healing people, feeding thousands of people with a couple of fish and some bread? That would have made my faith huge. And yet as I look at the scripture and realize and recognize all these people that saw the miracles, not all of them believed. In fact, only a small amount did. The word of God saves people. God himself saves people, not miracles. Put yourself for a minute, put yourself in the shoes of one of these 10 lepers. You were disgusting. You were repulsive. You were an outcast outside of the city limits. That's where you would have been, set apart from everyone else, away from your loved ones, away from anybody that could care for you. Maybe you're missing a limb, a leg, a finger, or five. And now instantly, all of that is gone. You're no longer smelly. You're no longer repulsive. Your skin is smooth, cleansed. Do you continue to go on living as if nothing happened? Would that change your life or wouldn't it? When these 10 boys and this coach were rescued, do they walk out of there and, oh, yeah, excellent, not a big deal? Do you think that in their minds of these 10 boys and their coach, that they would be very grateful to the rescuer? What can we do for you? How can I repay you? Is there anything that we can do? And in our world, they would probably get an award. They would get some type of honorary award. They would get a Purple Heart or something along those lines. We would hold them up. We would have a parade. We would have a National Day Hero Day because of this rescue. If you were one of those 10 lepers, How would you view Jesus, the person that rescued this you from this horrific disease? Well, there should absolutely be an attitude of gratitude. Man, there should be thanksgiving. There should be worship. And all ten of these lepers, they came back falling at Jesus' feet, and they're worshiping him. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. One of them, when he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. Isn't that incredible? 10 of them had experienced the same healing. 10 of them had experienced the exact same thing, but only one comes back? Oh my goodness. The one thing the one leper had recognized is that he had been in the presence of Almighty God, and that he wanted more than just physical healing. He knew that there was more to Jesus than just physical healing. And so he's going back and he's embracing the full potential of getting from God what he knew he really needed. He knew that God had more. His heart was longing for a relationship with the divine healer, with his rescuer. He wanted that divine relationship. He knew that the quality of life that he needed was only found in God himself. And then this healing that he experienced in his physical body was only temporary. He wanted to give himself to his divine rescuer, his divine healer. He wanted to fall on his face beneath that divine healer as a recognized sinner. I am a sinner. And worship and adore him, as well as praise and thank him. He wanted more than just a physical healing. He would have known enough about the Old Testament to know that God was not just a healer, but that he was the promised deliverer, the promised rescuer, savior. And he's not just content with the physical healing. He understands the extent of his alienation from God. He understands his alienation from God and his need for reconciliation. He recognizes that he needs that in order to satisfy God's wrath. He needs more. Luke 17, verse 16 says, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Here's a Samaritan again. Man, they're often mentioned as somebody not worth a whole lot, right? But here he was, recognizing what Jesus had done for him, recognizing his inner need, the need to be healed not only from leprosy, but far beyond, for his spiritual needs. And so he comes humbly by repentance and faith, knowing that Jesus has the power to heal him from that is the spiritual need as well. He knew that Jesus was more than just somebody who walked around doing incredible miracles. He realized that Jesus was somebody more, and he fell at his feet, Jesus' feet, and he began to worship. He knew that he was in the presence of God Almighty. And in verse 19, Jesus tells the one leper, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Well, was he only healed at this point? Why is he saying your faith has made you well? I believe it's speaking to his spiritual well-being. In fact, the English phrase made you well comes from the Greek word sozo. It means to rescue or protect. It always indicates the act of delivering someone. It's making someone whole, preserving life, to heal, to save from danger, or from loss or destruction. Sozo has the basic meaning of rescue one who is in great need, who is in great peril, who is in great need of rescue. Sozo is sometimes used in a physical deliverance from danger, and I won't go into the scriptures of that. The physical dangers the danger of perishing, the deliverance from demonic possession. But more often, sozo refers to salvation in the spiritual sense. As illustrated in Matthew, Matthew records the angel's conversation with Joseph, declaring, "She, Mary, will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save," sozo, "his people from their sins." In Matthew 1:21, sozo is equated with deliverance from sins, deliverance from guilt and the power of sin, with Jesus' name being a transliteration of Joshua, meaning Jehovah is salvation. The one leper, he comes back and he humbles himself. And he comes by repentance and faith in the one true rescuer, Jesus Christ. He recognized his need, that it was far greater than just a physical need. So how does this apply to us today? What do we do with this? Let me read again a headline from the CNN News. The article starts, they're free. All 12 members of the Wild Boar soccer team and their coach were rescued after more than 2 weeks trapped inside a cave in Thailand. Can you imagine their response to seeing their deliverer coming for them? Can you imagine their response as they're going out of that cave, out of that situation? You know, what do you do for that person that rescued you? For all the people, really, that were involved in the rescue. Man, you would feel forever indebted, knowing and realizing that thank you really is too little. Truly, you would have an attitude of gratitude and thankfulness. But now this rescue is only for their physical need. They still have a spiritual need which is far greater than their need to be rescued from that cave. Because that cave, that life, our life, is only temporary. It is very temporary. But how do we prepare ourselves for eternity? In 2005, Joni Yoder wrote in the Daily Bread, she wrote this, "A few years ago, an unkempt, poorly adjusted youth named Tim," not his real name, "was converted to Christ in an evangelistic crusade. A few days later, still unkempt, but bathed in the love of Christ, he was sent to my home so that I could help him find a good church. And so it was then that he began attending mine. Though Tim needed and received much loving help and personal grooming and basic social graces, one characteristic remained unchanged. His untamed love for his Savior. One day after church, Tim rushed to my side, looking somewhat perplexed. He lamented, 'Why me? I keep asking myself, why me?' She says, 'Oh no,' I thought, 'he's becoming another complaining Christian.' Then with arms stretched out, he went on to say, 'Out of all the people in the world who are far greater and far smarter than I am, why did God choose me?' With that, he joyfully clapped his hands. Why did he choose me? this young man named Tim, this one leper, they recognize their inability to do anything about their sin issue, their sin condition, their death issue. They recognize that there was nothing that they could do in and of themselves to rescue themselves. And they were, in fact, in desperate need of rescue, as our we. They realized and recognized that it was only by coming by repentance and faith in Jesus Christ as the promised rescuer, the promised deliverer, that they could experience spiritual healing, true rescue. Man, there are times when I take for granted that I have been rescued, that Jesus is my rescuer. There are times when I feel entitlement. There's a sense of entitlement that, yeah, no, you know what, I deserve that. There are times when we do that. But in and of myself, there is absolutely nothing that I can do. It is God alone. And how do we respond? How should my response be all of the time? Not just some of the time. It should be an attitude of gratitude. I should be falling at the feet of Jesus to worship Him because of what He has rescued me from. Eternal damnation. God grant us the ability to see sin as you see sin, as grotesque, disgusting. And once we continually see sin in that light, it will bring us to our knees in worship of Almighty God. We need to see the desperate situation that we are in. If you have not followed Christ as your deliverer, as your rescuer, man, reach out to Him today. He will heal you today. If you are like me and sometimes take for granted my salvation or undermine or not see sin as great as God, and it leaves me a little bit prideful. But man, God, break me and help me understand how grotesque sin is. Don't have the attitude of the nine and be satisfied with only a physical blessing. Everybody in that time, they enjoyed the wonders of His teaching, the wonders of His miracle, but only a few came and fell at His feet and glorified Him as God. The majority of the people, they just wanted to see, what can I get? What can I get out of this man? Yes, I'm free. I don't have that leprosy hanging over me. And that's all they cared about. They didn't understand their need. The majority were happy fixing up their life temporarily, while a small group wanted Him to change their souls, transform their hearts. Which one am I? Which one are you? In verse 22 to 37, Jesus talks about the coming judgment. See, it's not a coincidence that He's talking about the coming judgment after all of this. If you read the passage, if you read the scripture, man, there's an amazing flow that's going on. There's an amazing flow that happens there. And Jesus talks about the coming judgment. That's why this is important. He's talking, there's a rescuer from this coming judgment. He talks about the flood in Noah's day. People were wiped out because they didn't believe. They didn't believe that the rescuer had given them this place. Get on the boat, you live, you don't, you die. That's what's happening. When fire and brimstone rained down on Sodom, wiped out the people. Why? They didn't believe in the rescuer. Lot was rescued. Noah and his family were rescued because they came humbly by repentance and faith in the promised deliverer, in the promised rescuer. Jesus is our rescuer. It should bring us continually to our feet. That's how we respond to someone who rescues us from death, from eternal damnation in the lake of fire. Man, that is a reality. And God has saved us from that if you put your faith in Him. My prayer is that we have this morning, bow with me as we close this morning. God, we see our need as people, that we are in desperate need of rescue. Thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to be that rescue. Thank you that Jesus, you are willing to go to the cross and to suffer and to die and to bleed, but not just stay there. In fact, defeating sin, Satan, and death, and rising again on the third day and ascending into heaven, sitting at the Father's right hand. God, thank you. Thank you that that rescue is available to all of us. Father, thank you that you have rescued me. And Lord God, let my attitude be an attitude of worship only for all that you have done. For great are you, Lord. We worship you. We pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.